Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Glad you're with us. Lots to talk about today, so let's dive right in. The issue is, and I see this in my financial planning work, the issue is as you get older, I know this is not going to be fun to hear, but you will slow down. All right, there I said it. That's the reality of life, and the mind and body aren't what they were at 20. And one of the things that people are challenged by is a decline in mental power, mental speed, and mental faculties and memory and all of those related things. So this is something that is very important to be aware of and know it's out there as it's out there. So you need to think about it and take steps to prepare for it. Because once you get out there, then you may not have, of course, ironically, and sometimes very sadly, the mental ability to do something about it. So best plans are prepared in advance, of course, not when you are already, in that position. So to dig into this and to provide really some good research and some great perspective on this is Terrence O'Dean. He's our guest today. And his title is the Rudd Family Foundation Professor of Finance over at Berkeley, and he's held this position since 2008, a number of professorships at University of California, and his work really has won a considerable number of awards and has received many grants for the research. And we're going to be talking about cognitive decline, and of course, this is very much a financial issue, and Terrence is going to give us some examples of some of the things he's seen in his own personal life about how this can happen, and I'll share, of course, some of the stories I've been witness to, and we'll just walk through this and talk about some of the things to be prepared for and things you can do in advance to protect yourself and your family, which is also very important. So, Terrence, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're happy you are because, people need your perspective on this. So I would love to start with, if you don't mind, your personal story, because I think that'll give people some perspective of what one of the reasons you're focused on this. You had a situation with your own father in that he had a decline, and there were some things that were done that, that definitely were not advantageous and maybe could have been done better. So if you would like, maybe share a little bit about the backstory there, and then we'll talk about some of the things that people can do to avoid some of the things that happen and also how to take smart precautions.
Sure, David. My dad was a high school teacher, and when he retired from teaching in 1991, he bought a long-term care insurance policy. In 2009, he fell while stepping off a curb. He was visiting Seattle with my mom, and he hit his head. A few days later, he came down here to Berkeley to visit us, and I noticed he was talking less than usual, and he was struggling to get out of chairs, and he really never fully recovered. Now, 2 years after that, he canceled his long-term care policy. This is a policy he'd had for 20 years.
Wow.
And 2 years after canceling the policy, he had stroke, spent the last year of his life in long-term care facilities, uninsured. Now, throughout most of his life, my dad was a smart guy, and he had a good head for numbers. At one point, before he became a teacher, he considered becoming a stockbroker or an analyst. But canceling his long-term care policy at 85, while he was in poor health, was a really bad financial decision. But, he wasn't thinking clearly anymore. And the irony is, he bought insurance to protect against cognitive or physical impairment that would make him unable to care for himself. But when the cognitive impairment set in, he was vulnerable. He wasn't protected. And he made a very, very bad mistake. My brother and I didn't know this. Later, we talked about it and said, well, both of us would have immediately said, Dad, don't do this.
Right.
Dad, I'll pay the policy.
Right. Pay now versus paying later.
Yeah. So that got me very interested in the topic.
Sure.
And as you know, I'm currently teaching a free online course on personal finance. And the last week of the course focuses on various issues around retirement, not and cognitive decline is one of the things I talk about. Other mm-hmm. things are the importance of wills, talk a bit about trust, talk about having a medical, advanced medical directive, all these things, many of which people don't deal with because I think in part you don't want to be thinking about it. You know, preparing for cognitive decline is, most of us don't like to sit around and think, well, someday I'm not going to be able to make good decisions. But this is a case where quite clearly you're better off just looking it in the face and making some plans while you are thinking clearly.
No question. No question at all, Terrence. And then, you know, I appreciate, I know that's not fun to talk about, but it was the impetus for you to really focus in on this. And so we need to, you know, use that experience and the knowledge you have from what happened for people to learn from it. And, you know, one of the first things I wrote down as you were describing what happened is, and this is something that's really important for somebody who has a long-term care policy, is there is an ability with most policies to have a second or third person named as for second premium notices or cancellations and things like that, to where if somebody forgets, right? I mean, understandably, when they might be more likely to use a policy, forgets to pay the premium, you know, a son or daughter or financial advisor or whomever, that trusted confidant can get a notification from the insurance company, and then the person can say, hey, what happened? You didn't pay your premium, still within the grace period of still being able to make the payment, and just to try to make sure that, you know, something that, as you very well described, something so important you paid for so long that's cost a lot of money doesn't disappear at the time you need it.
Yeah, well, that would be a great idea. And if that had, you know, had my brother or myself or
right.
One of our other siblings in that position, that probably would have solved that particular problem. He did end up, he told my mother, and I think she also had to sign something saying he was canceling it, but, you know, my mom is also in her late 80s.
Right.
Furthermore, and this is something I hope we talk about a little bit, they had divided up, you know, various household
right.
Tasks
right.
in a way that Dad always handled finances.
Yes.
And so when he said, I think we should cancel this, we've been paying on it for years, never got a cent, she just said, well, okay. Even though he had far more cognitive decline than she did, but she just trusted his judgment.
It was in his department, right?
I mean, it was his department.
Right.
And
yet, let's do speak to that. And I do want to talk about that. We'll go ahead and talk about it now, Terrence. I mean, you know, the one of the most important things couples can do is, and it's not, it's at any age, is to have a very strong understanding and a shared, you know, responsibility. And, you know, that's just where we are today. And I think it's so important, especially when it comes to finances and some of these decisions. You know, it's, even though I'm a financial planner, you know, I mean, and this would squarely be in my department for my own family. You know, my wife knows what's going on, and we know, you know, we do these things together. And, you know, so it's really important to do that. And I think that the other thing, which we'll get to, I know, is about, you know, identifying some of this and how you address it, but it's to be involved and to be tuned in. And so that's a big one, is to make sure other people are going to be notified of a cancellation or premiums not being paid. So
yeah, there are so many reasons for both spouses to be involved in finances.
Mm-hmm.
They vary from reasons sort of outside of the conversation today, which is sometimes one spouse is running amok and the other one doesn't know it.
True. That does happen.
Friend who found out that, you know, her husband had racked up tens of thousands of dollars in bills that she didn't know about. There's the issue of just if the spouse, even if dementia doesn't set in, if the spouse who's taking care of finances dies and the other spouse has never been
mm-hmm.
involved, he or she, and it's often she, but either way, doesn't know where things stand, doesn't
right.
know what to do, doesn't know
that's
how to
right.
cope. So you might think, oh, I'm doing my wife, I'm doing my husband a favor by taking on this chore, and in the end, you're not.
You're
doing them
right.
much more of a favor sitting down with them and saying, here's where our finances are, here's the decision I'm making, and here's why. And then, of course, there's the catch that if one person suffers significant decline before the other, like if my mom had been more involved, she might have said, well, Bill, I'm not so sure this is a good idea. Why don't we talk to one of the boys?
Exactly. And that would have been that. Yeah, and the third I'll add to your list is in the case of divorce. If you don't know where things are and it's not your department, then
yeah,
that's going to be a real problem. If you're just joining us, Terrence Odeen is our guest today, Rudd Family Foundation Professor of Finance, Berkeley, and we're digging into this very serious and important topic, but topic you can plan for and steps you can take are definitely available of dementia and as we age. And we're going to get into some more specifics about this with Terrence. You can go to the website, odeen.org, just like it sounds, O-D-E-A-N.org, odeen.org, and you can check out the online course that Terrence mentioned and a lot of other great resources you can tap into. Quick break. We'll be right back. Stay right there.
Hello, I'm Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery. Cremation is a choice that is chosen by many today. Our caring professionals will gladly work with you to plan cremation services and memorializations that fulfill your wishes and honor the life lived. At Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, we offer a wide variety of options, from urns for burial to many other choices. There are many ways to honor your loved one following a cremation. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there. Hi there. Welcome back. Terrence Odeen on the line with us, Rudd Family Foundation Professor of Finance for Berkeley, and the website odeen.org. And we're talking about cognitive decline and some of the issues, consequences, challenges. And we talked before the break, of course, about, you know, division of responsibility or departments within a household and why it's so important for couples to both know what's going on. And, you know, I want to dig a little further, if we can, Terrence, into the cognitive decline. You know, there are some statistics I know that you've studied very well about, you know, what happens at different ages. And these are, of course, averages and but things that really, I think, brings this to mind that really makes it salient points about what we need to be prepared for. This is not just, hey, this might happen. It's some real hard data out there that we can look at, correct?
Yeah. Now, this isn't from my own research, but some researchers, some of whom I know, have found that nearly a third of people at 85 or older suffer from dementia, mm-hmm. and another third, or close to another third, have cognitive impairment without dementia. So the odds. Yeah, I was reading something in the New York Times this morning about runners and how even elite runners that train every day just get slower and slower, and they have a chart as to you can predict how much speed you're going to lose, and you hit 85, and it's taken a dive.
Yeah. Well, this is why you don't have to have as fast of a speed to qualify for the Boston Marathon.
Yeah.
Right? They're putting that decline
exactly.
in there.
And the fact is, you know, the odds are you're going to have some cognitive impairment after, you know, for some people it sets in early, it could
right.
be in your 70s. Some people stay pretty sharp into their 90s. But just when you're looking at it as a 50-year-old or 60-year-old, and you're starting to make some plans, you should figure this is, it's high probability that when you're in your 80s, and certainly in your 90s, you're not going to be as sharp of a tack as you once were.
That's a good point. Well, and you know what? It's the old cliche, but it really rings true here as you, you know, you certainly hope for the best, but you prepare for the worst. And so,
exactly.
Or at least prepare for the averages. And then if you, you know, if you're still, you know, I remember my grandmother doing the crossword puzzles at 5 and 6 in the morning and, you know, just knocking them out every morning before I even got up if I was staying over, and like, wow. And, you know, but I mean, it's just, you've got to prepare for this. And the statistic that really stuck out for me when I was reviewing some of the work that you've done in this area, and I know some of these other studies or other researchers, Terrence, is the one study that showed after age 65 or 70, and again, 70 is supposed to be the new 50, that on average, a person's score on financial literacy tests, okay, drops by 1% a year.
Yep, 1% a year.
That's
up
big.
Fast, isn't it? Yeah,
because you not only have the lower score, but what's, you know, if we break that score down, what does that score really mean? You know, it's again, I don't want anybody to get the wrong impression that we're, you know, we just want to make this a reality check here for everybody that, you know, that they understand it. But you're talking about processor speed. You're talking about memory. You're talking about, you know, being able to grasp concepts and also, you know, being able to look at what's reasonable and not some of that logic and judgment.
Yeah.
All of that, right, is factored into this potential decline.
And, you know, there's a couple things I think that are worth mentioning. One is this is a much bigger problem or issue today than it was a few decades back. And there are a couple of reasons for that. One obvious one is our bodies are hanging in there longer.
Right,
we're living longer. And another thing is that finance has gotten more complicated since when I was a kid.
Sure.
I grew up in the 50s, and it wasn't always easy in the 50s financially, and I know my parents struggled, but it was in many ways simpler, and there were fewer opportunities to make major mistakes. Simple example. My parents didn't have any credit card debt. And the reason is they didn't have a credit card.
Right.
I didn't
know
a single person who had a credit card in the 50s.
Right.
When my parents got a mortgage, they got a GI loan, fixed rate, 30 years. This is the simplest vanilla mortgage. If you keep your job, you keep your house. They didn't have to decide, do I want a variable rate, and, you know, do I want something that in 5 years might jump? You know, there wasn't any complexity there. And the bank wouldn't lend you money unless you had a sound job. So there was less opportunity to get into mortgage trouble, less opportunity to get into credit card trouble. And one big thing is, you know, my dad was a public school high school teacher at a time where every school teacher had a traditional pension. And that meant he didn't have to ask himself, am I saving enough? And when he got older, he didn't have to figure out how much can I spend.
Right, right.
He got his Social Security check. He got his pension check. And as long as he spent less than the money that came in on those checks, he was fine. And on top of that, he couldn't make a big mistake with his future income because his future income was coming from
something he couldn't control.
Exactly.
Right.
So the world shifted,
yeah.
You know, as we moved to defined contribution pensions, like 401k plans, you can make a really bad decision with the money that you're counting on for the rest of your life.
Really bad, like lose it all if you're not careful.
That would be a bad decision.
Yes, it would.
Yeah. You could be like one of the close to retirement Enron employees who had all of their
everything, all of their
savings in Enron stock.
Yeah.
So the we're getting older. Our bodies are getting older while our minds might be doing a little better, but as we just discussed, they're declining. And the opportunities to make bad mistakes on our own are out there. In addition to that, the ability of people who are trying to scam adults, and especially older adults, their ability to find you has gone way up.
Oh, sure.
So since I started, you know, I made this a video on cognitive decline. I talked to a bunch of people. And when I tell the story about my dad, the usual response is I hear a story back.
Yes, that's true.
And, you know, it can can be a story about someone I know, an older woman I know got a phone call,
right.
And it sounded like it, you know, someone said, "Grandma, Grandma, and I've been in a horrible accident, and I'm in the hospital." And she says, "Why don't you sound, you know, Abraham, why don't you sound like yourself? Oh, I broke my nose and I can hardly talk.
Right.
And please don't tell Mom. I want to tell her myself, but I need $5,000 to get out of the out of the hospital." You know,
and
boom,
yeah.
And she sent the money. Another friend I was talking to said, "Yeah, my dad. I mean, he's slowing down. We all know it, but it was just a hard conversation to take the reins away." And his case wasn't too bad, but some people show up and say, "No, you got some problems with your roof there. If you sign this contract, we'll fix everything for $10,000. They do almost no work, and the contract binds them. There are lots of... Oh, and then there's one scam going on that, if you haven't mentioned to your listeners, is probably worth telling them about, which mm-hmm. is you get a phone call from someone who claims that they are an agent at the IRS.
Oh, yeah.
That the IRS is about to sue you and your last warning. It is a fake. The IRS does not call you.
They don't do that.
They don't do that. And so people get scared. A lot of people have sent money. So just be aware. If you get a phone call that says the IRS is suing you, it's a lie.
Yeah,
it's
it is. True. No, good warning. Let's do this. Grab a break. We'll come back. I want to talk about some of the solutions and steps to take. I think we have people's attentions, Terrence. Terrence O'Dean, ladies and gentlemen. Rudd Family Foundation Professor of Finance over at Berkeley. Odean.org is a website. Not too late to check in and kind of sign up for the online course that he's got going on, and really important stuff. Stay right there. Quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too. Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi. I'm Tony, Chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440. For more information.
Hi, this is Mike Peerless, NMLS number 1073735, Reverse Mortgage Director for Holland Mortgage Services, a subsidiary of Holland Financial. It used to be that people considered a reverse mortgage as a loan of last resort. In fact, our company's founder and host of this program, David Holland, was a skeptic himself. However, after many client requests, David investigated this product thoroughly and decided that a reverse mortgage could fit into one's overall financial plan. Holland Mortgage Services is a licensed Florida broker, and we can help you refinance your existing mortgage and stop making ongoing monthly mortgage payments. However, you're still responsible for payment of property taxes, homeowners insurance, and HOA fees. You can also tap your home's equity to pay off credit cards or put cash in the bank. Call 386-671-7526 today for a free evaluation. Sometimes, to move forward, you need to go reverse. That number again is 386-671-7526. Holland Mortgage Services, NMLS number 1432962.
And we're back. Terrence O'D on the line, and we're talking about the, well, some serious issues related to cognitive impairment and decline at an older age. And I wanted to spend a little bit of, you know, a couple minutes we got left, Terrence, talking about some of the ways people can really kind of hit this head on. And I know one of the big ones is having somebody that you trust that can really look out for you. And we talked about it earlier, being maybe a family member or even, you know, a financial advisor or somebody maybe who's your going to be your trustee of your trust, that somebody is there to, you know, help you look out for this and bring this up and address it with you and help you through it.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's going to be different solutions for different people, but a good starting place is, while you still think reasonably clearly,
exactly,
sit down with your family, your close friends, some loved ones, and figure out a plan.
Exactly.
And that plan, as you say, it could be that you start sharing decisions with someone who you trust, who you feel is competent, and possibly someone younger.
I'm just, that would help.
I know I'm starting to just, you know, as far as I can tell, I don't have any impairments yet. But I'm trying to develop a habit even now of, if I'm making a major insurance, real estate investment type decision, that I run it by my daughter's husband and just say, you know, I was going to go with her. She said, I'll go with David. And just say, here's what I'm doing. You can say, that sounds reasonable. But that way, there's someone kind of looking over your shoulder.
That makes sense.
But, you know, many people, you might want to go a step further and get, if you have a financial advisor, maybe get your financial advisor involved in, you know, so that you discuss decisions. You know, maybe your financial advisor right now is helping you with your investment decisions.
Well, they could get involved with other stuff, too, and trusts and things like that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Terrence O'Dean, ladies and gentlemen, our guest today, Rudd Family Foundation Professor of Finance. And go to the website, odean.org, O-D-E-A-N.org. And we're out of time, Terrence. Thank you for being with us. Great subject. Thanks for sharing with us. And I'd love to have you back to talk more in a future time.
Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.